There are plenty of Christian retirement plans out there, but is retirement itself actually biblical? Hi, I'm Rob West. The answer depends on your definition of retirement. And for Christians, that should be quite different from the world's view of retirement. I'll talk about that first today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So the world has plenty of expressions for retirement. The golden years, hanging up the cleats and getting the gold watch. Also, sitting back in your rocking chair. The world's idea of retirement is saving as much as you can so that someday you can simply stop working. The world sees work as a negative thing, toiling for years under a mean boss so that one day you have enough cash to kiss work goodbye. But that is absolutely not a biblical view of work or retirement. God is our true boss. Colossians 3 tells us, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Work predated the fall. The Lord put Adam to work in the Garden of Eden, and nowhere does the Bible say we can quit our service to Him when we have enough money saved up to live a life of leisure. Further, God Himself is a worker. In John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working." Interestingly, the Bible actually does address retirement one time, but in a very narrow circumstance. Regarding the Levitical priests, Numbers 8:24 and 25 reads, "From 25 years old and upward they shall enter to perform service in the work of the tent of meeting, but at the age of 50 years they shall retire and not work anymore." God's word doesn't tell us why they were to stop their labors, but one thing we can be pretty sure of, that passage doesn't apply to us. So how should Christians today think about retirement? Well, I think it's helpful to realize that the world's view of retirement, that is, ceasing all work, is a fairly modern concept. Before the 20th century, people generally worked as long as they could. Then along came Social Security and pensions, and retiring at age 65 came to be seen as an entitlement. But as Christians, our service to the Lord never ends. The Apostle John was still writing and preaching in his 90s. Second century pastor Polycarp testified that he'd served the Lord 86 years as he was being martyred. Those are two excellent role models for how we should view retirement. By now, though, you're probably thinking, well, why are we saving all this money then if we're not supposed to retire? Well, the simple answer is because it's prudent and a wise use of God's resources. People are living longer now than in previous generations. Many of us will reach a point where we are physically unable to work or work as many hours as we can now. We have to prepare for that. Proverbs 21:20 says, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." Of course, that's prudent for everyone, believer and non-believer. But as Christians, ideally, we want to save for the day when we can increase our service to God. Think of it as retiring to something, not just from something. A good example might be a business person who retires and then goes into the mission field or finds another calling to serve God. Or it could be your lifelong investing gives you resources later in life to give more generously. The more you have saved from the resources God has entrusted to you, the more time and treasure you can give back to further His kingdom. So here at Faith and Finance, when we use the word retirement, we're definitely not talking about ceasing all work. Our goal is to help people be faithful stewards of God's money so that one day they can serve Him more fully. The bottom line is, it's prudent and entirely biblical to save for the day when you can no longer work as diligently as you do now, but knowing that in some capacity, you want to serve the Lord as long as you can. So, start saving for so-called retirement as early as you can to achieve the benefit of compound earnings. We recommend putting away 10 to 15% of your income. Do this in a tax-advantaged retirement plan like a 401k if your employer provides one, taking full advantage of matching contributions if they're available. If your employer doesn't offer a 401k, well, open a traditional or Roth IRA. That way, you'll be prepared for whatever the future brings. And keep in mind, the longer you have before retirement, the more likely you are to benefit from choosing a Roth over a traditional IRA. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Unity makes all the difference, whether in a sports team or a symphony or on the battlefield. It doesn't matter how strong or seasoned or well-trained the group of individuals are, if there's no unity, great things will not be accomplished. And it's the same in the church. The Apostle Paul wrote several letters to the church in Corinth. It was a group of believers that were anything but united. And to them he said in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united." And we also today have a role to play in promoting unity among God's people. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Our team is away today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance, and we'll be going to those here in just a moment. Let me also remind you that the advice that I give each day on this program is general in nature. We offer principles and ideas that apply at a high level. They are not personalized, so that's why you should always seek professional financial advice. And if you'd like to find a professional who shares your values, we, of course, here at Faith and Finance Live recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. These are men and women who've met high standards, and they've been trained to bring a biblical worldview of financial decision-making. You can find one at faithfi.com. It's about time to take your calls and questions here. And before we dive into those questions, in the news today, as inflation continues to strain wallets across the country, a growing number of Americans are reconsidering their retirement plans. That's right, a recent survey by
my live career reveals that more than 80% of respondents have thought about delaying retirement for financial reasons, with 92% worried that they might have to work longer than expected. The fear of retirement is real. Shockingly, 61% of workers report fearing retirement more than death. And these anxieties stem from concerns about running out of money in retirement, perhaps becoming a financial burden to loved ones, or just lacking funds for medical emergencies. Vanguard's latest data offers a glimpse of hope, though, showing that the average balance in employer-sponsored retirement accounts rose to $134,128 in 2023. That was a 19% increase from the previous year. However, even with this growth, these figures still fall short of the estimated 1.4 million that many believe is necessary for a comfortable retirement. The financial landscape remains challenging. High interest rates and ongoing inflation have driven up the cost of essentials like food and gas and groceries. Those hit low-income Americans the hardest. Even though inflation has eased since its peak in 2022, prices are still, of course, significantly higher than they were just a few years ago. That dip in inflation doesn't mean prices are going down. We've just slowed the rate of increase. Now, given these economic pressures, it's no surprise that many Americans question whether retirement is a realistic goal. According to another study or survey by Nationwide, over a quarter of non-retired investors fear they might not, or they might need, I should say, to return to work due to inadequate savings. 19% doubt they'll save enough to comfortably retire at all. Our thoughts on that are that with the challenges surrounding retirement savings, we understand that and hear that from a lot of our listeners on a regular basis. We also need to recognize, though, this offers a unique opportunity to trust in God's provision and take proactive steps towards securing your financial future. You know, in the midst of uncertainty, we're reminded of the biblical principle of stewardship, that is, faithfully managing the resources God has entrusted to us. This includes, of course, reevaluating our saving strategies and seeking wise counsel, even making adjustments along the way that align with both our financial goals and our faith. And just as Scripture encourages us to consider the ant and be industrious in Proverbs 6, we can also approach our financial planning with a spirit of wisdom and intentionality. Ultimately, we know our security does not rest in the size of our retirement accounts, but in our trust in God's faithfulness. And by taking practical steps to managing our finances wisely, we can face the future confidently, knowing that God is with us every step. As we do our part, we can rest assured that He will provide for our needs both now and in the coming seasons. And I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Perhaps you find yourself a bit anxious over being ill prepared for the future. And I would say again, ultimately, God is our provider. We need to have our trust placed squarely in Him and yet do our part to the extent we can to set aside some of which He provides today for the future. And I hope as you think and pray through that, you'll find just peace of mind to know that God is ultimately in charge. All right, let's begin to take your calls and questions. Let's begin out in Kansas today. We'll welcome Judy to the broadcast. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've got a notice from my bank. It's an arbitration provision and class action waiver, a dispute resolution by individual arbitration. What does that even mean?
Yes. Are they asking you to sign it and return it?
There's no place to sign, but I have the right to opt out. And I don't know what it means. I don't know what happens if I opt out. I'm just confused by this.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, generally speaking, and obviously these ultimately come down to legal matters, so you could get some legal counsel here, and arbitration might be the right choice for some cases. Essentially, arbitration, Judy, is where you're settling a dispute by a third party. and it's intended to be objective and independent and avoid the high cost of getting the court involved. Binding arbitration is becoming more common for resolving disputes in the financial services industry. Sometimes you can't open an account without agreeing to use the process. Individual arbitration seeks to resolve the situation where only one individual or entity on each side is involved rather than multiple parties. So the big idea is that it's faster and cheaper than a court and maintains confidentiality. I would say critics might argue that it stacks the deck against customers. But here's what I would say. I think it's generally a good idea to opt out of forced arbitration to preserve your options. And the idea here is that you can always agree later to use an arbitrator to resolve any dispute. And if you've opted out, you're going to have more negotiating power if there ever is a problem. So if it were me, I would probably opt out and retain my right to litigate. But considering how costly that might be, recognize that I might want to take the arbitration option when that time comes. Does that make sense?
That's great advice. Yes, I had no idea what I was looking at here.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I realize sometimes the fine print can be challenging to understand when we're getting into legal terms, but hopefully that's helpful as you think through what might be the best option for you. We appreciate your call today. Lord bless you. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Frank. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for your call.
I'm calling on behalf of my in-laws. They're about 80, and they have some savings bonds that are well matured. And the last time they used some of them to do some upgrades around the house, when they did their taxes, they got hit with quite a bit. So is there anything they can do to, like, laterally move any of them?
No, unfortunately, you're not able to go directly from the savings bond into an IRA or a Roth IRA. So what they would need to do is they can, you know, if they want to transfer ownership, they could gift them, you know, to someone else. If they want to simply, you know, put the money into the IRA because they're looking to reduce their overall taxes, they'd have to redeem them first, which they would do if they're electronic at treasurydirect.gov. If they're paper, they'd probably want to do that through their financial institution, perhaps their bank, even though fewer of them these days, you know, are willing to do that. You would typically want to have an established relationship. The only implication there is they're going to have to recognize that when they redeem these, that interest will be credited and it will be taxable, but then they could turn around and make that contribution to an IRA so long as they have earned income, and then that would reduce their federal taxes. I've got to hit a break, but let's talk more off the air. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I'm Chelsea Wildman, Associate Director of the AFA Foundation. Occasionally, there are those that have a more complicated financial situation. If that's you, we would love to set up a phone consultation with our team and Rob West, host of Faith Fi on American Family Radio. We will go over your specific situation. If you are interested, please give us a call, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345, or you can visit us at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. To Kokomo we go. Hi, Chris. How can I help you?
Hi. Thanks for your show. I enjoy it.
Well, thank you.
I was wondering, my husband opted out of Social Security back in the 80s. He's a pastor. And he's working part-time now. He's retired. And I wondered, if he gets enough credits, can he get back in Social Security?
Yes, he can. So he can qualify so long as he has enough work for long enough to qualify outside of his work as a pastor. And so ultimately that would mean he'd have to pay into the system for at least 40 credits, which is you get a credit for every quarter that you pay in. So that's equivalent to 10 years of work. So he would have to have one credit, which he would get for every $1,730 in covered earnings, up to 4 credits a year. And then if he gets those 40 credits or 10 years, then he's eligible for retirement benefits at that point. So, how far into his work, where he's paying into Social Security, is he currently?
He's probably about, I think he would have to work 2 or 3 more years. He had some credits, like when he was in college, he worked in a factory part-time in the summer. So he okay. did have a few credits before.
Yeah. Okay.
But then when he gets ready to go on Social Security, if we get that far, then will he, like right now, my Social Security benefits are paying his Medicare. So would he get a benefit on top of that? And would I get more money then
on my Social Security? Yeah, so you each have your own work record that determines what your benefits are. And then you have the ability to take a spousal benefit if it's higher, and that's equal to up to 50% of your spouse's benefit. So he could compare whether a spousal benefit at 50% of yours is higher than what he would qualify for on his own, because his is going to be fairly low. Even if he gets to that 10-year mark or 40 credits, it's based on your high 35 years, so the highest 35 years, and obviously the vast majority of those are going to be at zero. So that means the benefit, even though he will qualify for something, is going to be fairly low. So it would be interesting to look at whether, taking a spousal benefit for him would actually be higher than his own benefit, even if he qualifies.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate your help.
Absolutely, Chris. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Myra. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. I was calling in because I had purchased some CDs last year, and in about a month or two, they're going to be at maturity stage, and I just wanted to know the best way that I can use them. Should I repurchase more CDs, or you know, to earn more, you know, money on them. I'm just not sure because this is my first time ever purchasing any CDs, and I just wanted to know the best way to go about doing them.
Yeah, sure. So as they mature, the money will come due, and they're probably going to contact you prior to that and ask you how you want them to handle that, because depending on the CD, it may, and this is usually determined when you open the CD or set up the account and make the initial purchase, but they either will automatically take that money and move it into a savings account, or they will just auto-renew that CD where it'll roll over into another CD of the same duration, but with an, you know, whatever the prevailing rate is. So you're going to want to make sure you touch base with them prior to that CD maturing to make sure whatever your intentions are carried out, and you'll want to give them those instructions. As to what to do with the money, Myra, it ultimately comes down to what is the purpose of this particular bucket among the other buckets of money that you have. So I like to think about it in terms of you've got your emergency savings bucket. That's 3 to 6 months worth of expenses that should remain liquid because that's for the unexpected. So I'd keep that in a high yield savings account. The good news is you can still find high yield savings at 5%. Even though interest rates will be headed down here fairly soon. And then beyond that, you might have some short-term money where you want to keep it fairly safe, but you've got a time horizon of, let's say, between 1 and 3 years. That would be typically a good place for CDs just because, you know, you can get fairly attractive rates right now. And it, you know, that short-term nature of it matches the fact that you need the money in less than 3 years. If you're going out beyond 3 years, certainly beyond 5 years, then, you know, there's an option to look at whether or not you want to take some risk with the money and invest it in stocks and bonds or something else where the risk level goes up, but the potential for return goes up with it. So when you think about this particular pool of funds that's currently in the CD, how do you think about this money in terms of your overall needs and goals in the future? Is this money you plan to use in the near future?
Well, no, not exactly. I'm just really trying to save and build.
Okay.
You know, that's really my goal.
Yeah.
It's just trying to, you know, save and earn, you know, some money on top of, you know, what I have in there already.
Sure. So how much is in this CD currently?
Well, I purchased, three of them was $1,000, and then I did one for $500.
All right. And do you have a retirement plan at work?
I do.
Okay. And what percent of your income are you contributing to that?
5%.
Okay. And are they matching on top of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And how much do you have total saved for retirement?
Not very much, to be honest with you. Not
yeah. So what I would probably do is I'd take the equivalent of 3 to 6 months expenses and move it into your emergency savings, keep that liquid. And then the rest, I would try to boost the amount going into your retirement account. Let's try to get up to 10 to 15% if you can. And I would try to shift as much of that into that ability to grow it tax deferred in stocks and bonds. Let's talk a bit more off the air. I'll take a quick break and be back with more.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown, thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head up to New York. Bob, I understand you're listening or perhaps a user of the FaithFi app. Go ahead.
Hey, it's good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a question about some of the, faith-based brokerage firms that I'm aware of. And some of the larger, more nationally known do tend to have a broader spectrum of offerings. And I'm wondering if you know of one or where I could find information on one of them that might be better aligned with the faith-based investing or more of a moral, quote-unquote, conservative values in a lot of their products.
Very good, Bob. Yeah, there's certainly plenty of faith-based investing mutual fund families and investment companies offering investment products. There really isn't, per se, a faith-based investing brokerage firm. So what I would typically recommend is you do one of two things. If you want to do it yourself, then you would probably want to go to like a Fidelity or a Schwab, one of the discount brokerage firms that are going to give you access to most of, if not all, the faith-based investing fund families like Eventide and Guidestone and Timothy and Praxis and, you know, all the others, One Ascent. All of those would be accessible through a Fidelity or a Schwab that really just gives you a platform to buy the funds that you want. The other option is to hire an investment advisor, and we would recommend a Certified Kingdom Advisor. And when you choose a CKA in your area at our website, faithfi.com, as a part of that process, it will ask you, do you only want to see the CKAs that offer faith-based investing, or do you want to see all the CKAs? And if you say, no, I just want the faith-based investing options, then you'll just get a list of Certified Kingdom Advisors that can provide a faith-based investing approach. And then you would interview and ultimately hire an advisor, and then he or she could manage the money using exclusively faith-aligned investment options. Which one sounds like what you're looking for?
Well, I would probably do my own, sir. So I guess the first of the options. So you did give me a great place to start, though, because I knew of Timothy and Guidestone. I did not know of the other one
Eventide
that you mentioned. So
let me give you a place where you can go to download a complete list of the faith-based investing funds that we've at least you know, vetted and track. I'll give you a website. If you've got a pen handy, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. I'll say it one more time. faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. And that's going to take you to the Center for Faith and Investing. They've prepared a list of faith-based investing fund families, and it will give you probably 15 to 20 options you could investigate. Any of those would be explicitly faith-aligned for believers. And then you could, you know, open an account at one of those discount brokerage firms I mentioned and make your investments there.
Greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much, sir, for what you do and for your time. Thank you.
Absolutely, Bob. Lord bless you, sir. Let's go down to Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hi, Miriam. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
I'm hoping that you could help me. Before I even start, I want to thank you for your ministry. I really appreciate hearing so much about finance. You don't hear much about it in the church.
Well, thank you.
My husband, you're welcome. My husband is thinking about retiring in a couple of years. But we just realized that the life insurance that he has is with his job. And we don't have any outside of that. And usually when you do the portable from your employer, it turns out to be a lot more expensive. So I'm trying to see what other options we have. And he was just diagnosed with a health condition that would definitely affect him getting life insurance right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, Miriam, did you say he's close to retirement? Is that right?
Yes, he's 63 okay. Last month.
All right. And what about your situation? Are you working now?
Yes, I work for myself. I have life insurance.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I guess I would question whether there's a need for life insurance, at least on his life. Here's why. And, you know, the purpose of life insurance is to offset a hardship that would be created by a family member that passes away. And the rest of the family is depending on that income source that's now gone. And so the life insurance is there to provide that death benefit that then could be invested and generate a replacement for that income that has gone away. But if he's retiring, then, you know, he's no longer providing an income stream. Now, you could say, well, he's going to get Social Security, although I would hope that he wouldn't take it as early as 63, but you all may have to, depending on his health situation. But ideally, if you have the retirement assets that would allow you, after his passing, to continue to fund your lifestyle, then you wouldn't need to continue to pay the life insurance premium, and especially if he has a health condition that would make that cost prohibitive. Essentially, you would just say, okay, he's retiring. We're no longer going to have life insurance on his life. And if he passes away, we have other assets and income sources that you would be able to maintain your lifestyle at that point. If that's not the case, then you certainly could look at putting maybe a 10-year term policy on his life or something like that. But, you know, you are going to have to weigh whether or not the premium is justified, especially given, you know, a health condition that is present. Does that all make sense, though?
It does. And I never thought about not having it. I just freaked out when I realized we won't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the exercise to go through, Miriam, is just to say, okay, what is our budget today and how are we funding that and how will you be funding that when he retires? Let's fast forward a year or 2 years, whenever it's going to be that he's retired, and how are you all going to be paying your bills? What income sources will you have? And then you would look at, okay, now how does this change if the Lord calls him home? And what you may find is it doesn't change it at all because I'm continuing to work. We've got our retirement savings. You know, at some point I'll be collecting Social Security. And so you can kind of run through that exercise. And if the answer is his passing doesn't change the situation at all, then I think you've got your answer. Well, there's not a need for life insurance at that point. So I think you ought to maybe take a look at that. And especially given his health condition, you probably are going to be in a better position just to recoup that, monthly amount that you would have been sending to the premium, and now put that back in your budget for other purposes, like continuing to build your savings, paying down debt, those types of things. So hopefully that helps you as you think through this. I realize we just kind of assume, well, we always need life insurance. No, we really just need it during our working years. And then that's one of those expenses that can go away once we get to retirement, because all of our income sources and savings are in place. And therefore, there's no hardship created by one of us, passing away. I appreciate your call today. Hopefully, that gives you a few things to think about. Well, folks, a quick break here, our final break, and then our last segment just around the corner. Sam will be coming your way in Tampa, and then Sharon in Cleveland, and Diane in Georgia. We'll be right back.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
When we put our faith in Christ, a massive spiritual transformation takes place within, and that change is visible from the outside as well. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress describes how our spiritual makeover impacts how we look to others. Receive practical instruction that will transform your behaviors and your relationships this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's head to Tampa. Hi, Sam. How can I help you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Good afternoon, and God bless you for your ministry. My question is, I bought some savings bond 27 years ago for my sons, and obviously, they're adults now. They know about it. It's been in the safe, and we've kept it all these years. I have no idea what to do with them now. I want to give it to them, or should we just hold on to it? I don't know.
Yes. So what is your plan? Were you just wanting to, were you intending to wait until they mature at 30 years, or would you like to just go ahead and give it to them now? What are you and your husband thinking?
We were thinking to wait for 30 years. By God's grace, we'll still be around by then. But they are aware of it. We kind of have everything set in case anything happens. But they know about it. I just don't want to. I want to leave them in place. But people are saying that it's not going to be worth anything in a few years. So maybe just give it to them and let them cash it out now. I don't know.
Yeah, very good. I mean, you could take either approach. So these are paper bonds, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So if you go into treasurydirect.gov, that's the Treasury's website specifically for bonds and other bond related instruments, treasurydirect.gov, you could type in the CUSIP numbers and find out what they're worth. You could even go through the process of sending in the bonds and getting them put in there electronically, which is ultimately the easiest way to handle them. Because then if you decided to gift the bonds, you could do that very easily, you know, whenever that time is. Now, you don't have to redeem them until 30 years. And so you absolutely can just leave them there for 3 more years. They will come due at that point. Have you been paying the taxes along the way, or will it all be taxable at the end?
It'll probably be taxable at the end.
Okay. Yeah. So that's typically the way it happens. You know, folks will, when they cash in the bond, when the bond matures, if you wait until 30 years, then you're going to have all the interest credited at that time. And then that will be taxable. And so you could then, you know, pay the tax on that and then gift it to them. Or you could decide to go ahead and make a gift of those bonds to them now. You know, that's really entirely up to you. You know, they're not earning probably a whole lot. And so, you know, they may be thrilled to have that money now and either invest it in a way that's going to perform a little bit better, or they might have other uses for it, if you're okay with that, where they could pay down debt or something like that. But it's really entirely up to you whether you wait until the 30 years where they just will mature on their own, and then you could gift the money to them, or you could do it ahead of that time. It's, you know, entirely you and your husband's decision.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your advice. I really appreciate it. Thanks again, all right. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it. Lord bless you as well. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I want to know about if you have information about CDs on how I can go into one location and get the rate for the different banks that offer the CDs. Is that something that you have available?
Yeah, there's a couple of websites I'll direct you to. You could go to bankrate.com and just click on CD right there at the top of the page, and you'll see a list of the online banks that have the most competitive CD rates right now. Another one is called nerdwallet.com. Kind of a silly name, but they do the same thing. You could get a listing of the most competitive interest rates for CDs. You can even search and sort by the specific durations of CDs you're looking for, and it will tell you who has the, you know, the very best interest rates right now. So those would be the two that I would go to.
Okay. Now, is there a certain amount you have to do for a CD, or each one offers?
It just depends. Yeah, right there on the listing, it will tell you what the minimum is. Sometimes in order to get the best rates, they will have a minimum of 10,000 or as much as 25,000. But right there at bankrate.com, you will see you know, what the minimum is. Like, I'm just scrolling through right now the best CD rates of August 2024 this month, and I'm seeing a minimum of 500. I'm seeing about, you know, 10 of them that have a minimum of zero. The highest minimum I'm seeing here is 10,000. So it's somewhere between zero and 10,000, with most of them being at either zero or 500.
Okay. What do you mean by zero? You don't put anything down?
No. The minimum deposit is zero. So you can put in a, yeah, they'll take a dollar if you want to put in a dollar. But there essentially there is no minimum. You just decide how much you want to put in.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Sharon. Thanks for you. Thank you. And you as well. To Calhoun, Georgia. Hi, Diane. Go ahead.
Hey, I had just recently retired, and I wasn't sure what to do with my 401k. I'm not in the need of it right now. So I didn't know to leave it in where it's at or move it to IRA. I'm just not sure. And I thought I could call and get some advice what to do.
Yeah, very good. Are you wanting to manage this 401k yourself once you move it out, or are you wanting to hire an advisor to do that?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Okay, how much is in there?
I think it's going to end up being about $130,000.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would recommend, Diane, that you consider hiring an advisor. who could take over management of this for you. It's a significant sum of money. You worked a long time to build up this nest egg, and you certainly wouldn't want to put it on autopilot. And if this is not an area of expertise for you, I think entrusting this to someone who can, you know, make sure that it's invested appropriately to protect what you have, but also to grow it reasonably in light of your age and goals and objectives, I think would be a great thing for you to do. We recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation here at FaithFi. So this is the only financial services industry designation for biblically wise financial advice. So these advisors have met an experience requirement. They've had a pastor reference, a client reference, a statement of faith, a regulatory review. They've passed a training program and a proctored exam. And it's all around, you know, giving advice that aligns with the values and priorities of Christians. That's, of course, competent. So there's 1,500 of them across the United States. And what I would do is head to our website, faithfi.com. Right there at the top of the page, click Find a Professional. You can put in your zip code. You'd get a list of CKAs in your area. You could interview several of them, find the one that's the best fit. And if you did that, what would happen is the advisor would open the IRA in your name wherever he or she custodies their client's assets. So it might be at Fidelity or Schwab or, you know, one of the other big firms like that, LPL or Ameriprise, Merrill Lynch. And then once they open the account, then you would roll that 401k into the IRA, and the advisor would then begin managing that money and making the buy and sell decisions for you. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Really good.
So
I appreciate
that. Head to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and you'll be on your way. Thanks for calling today. Let's finish up in Pennsylvania today. Hi, Corey. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much. I'll be brief.
Sure.
I have a
All
car
right.
that I bought years ago. I still owe on it about $5,500. Minimum payment is $185 a month. However, it's starting to nickel and dime me on the cost of maintenance. The bank owns the title. What are my options?
What is the car worth?
A little less than what's left on the loan, probably about $4,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the best option is you sell it as a private sale and pay off the loan, and then you'd have to come out of pocket for the difference. But you try to maximize and get as much value out of it as you can by selling it yourself. And get as close to that, $5,500 as you can, and try to, you know, spend as little as possible on the difference. The other option is if you're wanting to buy another car, you could try to roll this into that deal, essentially, where, you know, you would trade this car in and again, you're going to have to come out of pocket. And I guess the challenge is, you will have to, let me back up. The dealership may not give you as much as you would get from a private sale. And so you may end up having to pay more towards satisfying that loan. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that that loan gets paid in full because, you know, you have that obligation. And so that's why trying to maximize the sale and then turning around and buying something you can afford, you know, is the best path forward. Does that make sense?
Yes. Last question. The car itself is the collateral on the loan, so I don't own the title. So I don't think selling it personally would be an option because I don't own the title. Is that?
No, it would be. I mean, you can do a private sale even with a loan on the property or on the car. And they're just going to need to be paid in full before they release that title. But you certainly can sell it as long as, are able to cover the difference between what's owed and what you sell it for. Because, you know, when you pay off the loan, that's what's going to release that title. And then you can transfer it to the other party.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. All right. You're welcome, Corey. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. Man, we covered a lot of ground today. So appreciate you being a part of the broadcast, listening, calling, engaging with us, and for your kind remarks, too. We always enjoy hearing how the program has blessed you. In fact, if it has blessed you, let me invite you to consider becoming a FaithFi partner. These are those folks who really value the ministry here at FaithFi and are a part of the team that makes this happen. FaithFi partners give $35 a month or more to the ministry, and we invite you into the family. One of the ways we do that is to make sure you get pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotions. Our new one is called Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotion on fear and anxiety. Just go to faithfi.com/give to learn more. Let me say thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin. Everybody here at FaithFi certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.